This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's a Joy Law podcast from Jack and Dean on Joy.
You are with Jack and Dean for the Tuesday drive home on
Woo!
Joy. A little bit excited about that, driving home.
Just like wooing.
Joy Law.
Joy Law. That's right, it's time for Joy Law. This is the segment where we discuss legal issues of interest and concern to the LGBTIQ+ community.
Well done.
And its allies.
Mm-hmm.
And joining us live in the studio today, yeah, we haven't seen him for a while. Welcome back, Stefan. Hey, Stefan, how you doing?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hey, welcome back.
It's been a while since we've had a chat to you.
To leave the office on a sunny day.
That was the plan. We ran out of here as quick as we could.
Yeah, that's good.
So come on down. You brought Angelo with you. Now, Angelo's not on mic. He's taking notes. Yeah?
Yes. Not allowed to speak.
No, you can say hello. Say hello.
Howdy.
Howdy. Whoa, there you go. Well done, Angelo. Oh,
welcome,
natural.
Ange.
Look at him.
Uh-huh. Now, we're talking today. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Chloe in, and we're mm-hmm. talking about prenups and what happens when you're entering into a relationship and it's about to... you're not anticipating it's going to break up. You never anticipate that. But you might want to get your house in order. But today, we're talking about the other end of the relationship, where perhaps you are breaking up and you want to do a property settlement.
Yeah, so that's right. So today what we wanted to talk about was often what we're seeing in practice is clients coming in and saying, I've got an agreement with my ex-partner.
Yep.
We know what we want to do. We don't want to spend the money on lawyers or going to court. How can we do it in a way that's enforceable and that's valid? So that's absolutely fine. Provided certain basic things have been done. So a couple of things that you'd really need to think about, then what most people forget about is tax implications. So just generally speaking, if, say, for instance, the parties have a property or shares and one person's going to retain those, will that trigger CGT, capital gains tax? Will there be stamp duties payable? If you haven't thought of those things before you've come to the agreement, it can lead to issues. So there are important factors to have a think about even before you kind of commit to that arrangement. And
yes,
hopefully lawyers can then just give you the advice, make sure that you're protected and draft settlement documents in a way that meets with your approval.
Is it wrong for me to say I don't understand tax?
I
do my personal tax stuff, but I just don't understand. Like, what is the capital gains tax? What is that?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know either.
I don't know anything. Oh. Yeah, look at me. Look at me, look at you. I don't know anything.
Can I say, lawyers are technically not trained in that area as well, and we often recruit, we engage accountants to advise if it's fairly complicated. There's things like winding up companies. So really the message is knowledge is power. Inform yourself. Make those inquiries before you do that. There are other things that people should think about and that often they don't. Most commonly what we see is the absence of default provisions, which can lead to huge issues.
I've always said it.
Have you?
Yep.
Those default provisions?
Where are they?
Absent. It's the next tat. Sorry. Default provisions can come in many forms. So often if we're talking about one party retaining a piece of real estate or a business, there might be a transfer of cash or superannuation or some consideration. What happens if after that 60 days or that 90 days or that 120 days that payment hasn't been made? You don't want to have to go back to your lawyers. You don't want to have to go back to court. What you want is a self-executing order that says if you don't pay by that date, there might be interest payable. There might be the sale of a piece of land. So really, if you can do that in that initial document, you may save yourself a huge amount of headache down the track.
Yes. A self-executing order.
Ooh.
It's like a self-sourcing pudding, doesn't it?
Sounds very rude.
Doesn't sound as yummy. But
no, it's...
But it's the whole thing. When somebody buys their partner out of a property or such thing, I guess it's done in good faith and you're thinking they will give me the money.
That's right.
They don't do it within a certain time.
I mean, and often, and there may be a level of innocence about that. It might not just be because they're out to cheat their ex-partner.
Oh, no.
Excuse the pun. It might be a refinancing issue. There might just be a delay with the banks. So having those provisions in there just offers that extra level of protection. So with there are ways of documenting consent orders, or sorry, of settlement agreements. Generally speaking, there's two documents. One is the application for consent orders.
Yep.
That's a document that's filed with a court. It's fairly inexpensive. There is no requirement to actually be legally represented to draft that document. However, we would always recommend that you do engage a lawyer to at least draft the agreement to make sure that it is binding. But you don't technically have to be. Mm.
But can it also be contested?
Well, no. So So I mean, if it's consent, it implies that the parties have consented to that agreement.
Sure. There you go.
Where we have a couple of issues with consent orders is often people are saying to us, "This is the agreement we've come up with. We just want to document it, and we want consent orders. We want to go and get court orders and have the benefit of those court orders without the expense of barristers and going to court and having the contest. That is always possible, but it is still subject to basic financial disclosure." So you really do need to be satisfied about what the actual deal is. If it's 50-50, 50% of what becomes the question. So if someone's going to retain a property, you'd be very well advised to get a sworn valuation, because you just don't want to let it catch you by surprise if it's worth double in 2 years' time.
Yes.
And that may have changed your position back then.
I don't own anything.
So, yeah, double of nothing is nothing.
I give you 10% of the T-shirt sales. I got no T-shirts.
I got my rates notice. We're paying off the house. We've got a mortgage.
Yeah.
We've got our rates notice the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that. Like, you know, they do the re-evaluation of how much your house is worth so that they can pay you more rates?
Yes.
So I got this bit of rates paper saying that my house is worth a lot more than I reckon it is.
Humble brag?
No, but my house, you've been there. It's not that interesting.
A lot of crystals.
A lot of crystals, actually. But that, I wouldn't use that valuation as a basis for a consent order.
Well, interesting that you make that point, because often...
So lost. What happened?
Often what
all
we
right.
see is rates notices chronically undervalue properties.
Yes.
So I would never, generally speaking, I mean, if there's an agreement for a property to be sold, you might get a couple of market appraisals, which are free. You contact your local real estate agents. You get a median house price. And if you think, well, it's going to be sold, it will crystallise. We'll know how much it's worth when it sells. That's okay. But if someone's retaining a property, I would always say go to the expense. I have to say, look, it does range depending on the property, but usually $800 to about $1,200 for a sworn valuation. If you share the cost of that valuation, it might save you tens of thousands of dollars. So it's well worth the
expense. And it's that third-party objective view of how much the house is worth.
That's right. And there might be zoning issues that you're not aware of, that a real estate agent might not be aware of.
Yes.
So in terms of your due diligence, I think it's worth the time and money.
Okay.
There you go.
Dean? Just handballing it, do you?
So if someone is looking to break up, should they wait till they've decided to end the relationship before they start having these considerations about property?
I'm looking to break up.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm in the market for a breakup. Can I have 50% of something?
Like, how prepared do you want to be, though? I mean,
my view is...
It's strange. It's like, it's not really performing in the...
Storming out and slamming a door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You get your moment.
I get my moment.
My view is that, again, that knowledge is power, and being informed, being aware of those, what could or couldn't happen down the track is important. That ties into spousal maintenance as well. Often people are saying to us, if there's a discrepancy in income or in the ownership of assets, someone might say, well, look, I want to separate, but I don't want to pull the trigger just yet. I don't know what's going to happen with this relationship.
Yeah.
But what happens if I do? And am I up for spousal maintenance? So I think get the advice early. Know your rights. Know where you stand. Find out about how the process works. There's no time. In terms of you've got limitation periods for a property settlement. If you're married, you have 1 year from the date of divorce. If you're in a de facto relationship, you have 2 years from the date of separation. Mm-hmm. Of course, because we're lawyers, there's always exceptions to those rules, which we can get into another day. But that's the general rule. So
you love the fine print, don't you?
Oh, I love it. So fine.
So there's nothing stopping you. I mean, if parties have, unfortunately, the relationship is broken down, the following week they decide that they want to engage respective legal representation to get some advice about their rights and entitlements, they can have a property settlement then. But there is no rush. You can have your property settlement in a couple of months' time. There might be strategic benefits while you either do it or you delay it, and that will depend on a case by case.
It does sound so rational. I do think I would prefer the slamming of a door, but
and then you're like, you can keep the doghouse. See what I did there? Because it's a property
that you could live in. Thank you very much, Stefan and Angelo from
Joe Law. Thanks, everyone.
Speak to you again.
What a segment I've created.
You done?
Yeah. Please. You're the best.
You're enjoying.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.